Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Power of Being You podcast. My name is Sarah Grandinetti, and I am your host today, joined by Joanne Papapetros. I have so much fun with last names. So I practice, and then we see what shows up when we push record. Joanne is an Access Consciousness facilitator and business owner in hair and beauty, as well as facilitating classes. She has been a seeker all her life, and since using the Access Consciousness tools, her life in all areas has become way more fun, constantly creating a greater reality in all areas. One of her many favorite tools is How Does It Get Better Than This? Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're
it's a pleasure.
So welcome. So why don't we start with your favorite tool? So how do you use that question to create greater possibilities? Because what I hear and what I've actually had told myself for so long before I really dove into the tools was it can't be that easy. You can't just ask a question and have something greater show up. That's too simple. So can you talk to me about how you'd love to use that tool?
Yeah, I actually love using it with everything. Places I go to and you know, money flows, my day, even when something's crappy, everywhere. It's like it totally dissolves that limitation where something can't show up greater, whether it's an amazing day and it's like, how does it get better than this? Thank you, universe. Or whether it's like, you know, a shitty situation where you're being stopped with something you want to be doing and you're like, how does it get better than this? It sort of gets you out of that headspace of being really negative about it. Yeah, it just sort of creates like a lot of free space.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we're not used to creating our lives from free space.
Yeah.
It's usually yeah. Like from one problem to the next problem. And then yeah. We become the problem solvers that, you know, deserve trophies for creating all the problems that we can actually solve. And having a life filled with problems rather than possibilities. So I absolutely love that tool too. And I love, your take on it as well. So today we were talking about getting out of judgment of yourself and what that actually creates, because, what we know to be true is that we grow up in a world where you have to find out what's wrong with you so you can finally get you right. And then at some point you'll be free of all the judgment because you fixed everything by judging you. And you'll no longer have to judge you because you will finally be right. And what we talk about in Access Consciousness is often that the good and right judgment also limits you. So can you talk about your journey with getting out of judgment of yourself?
Yeah, I think judgment was my best friend. I think I bought every judgment as true and real. So yeah, it's amazing. As I started to use all the access tools, how much freer I've become and, you know, not valuing judgments anymore. And, you know, the difference it's created, like with the judgments, it's like you're always trying to fit in, you know. I mean, where do you start? We could start with body. Being in the beauty industry, you know, the hair and beauty, it's like, you know, how much do people judge themselves as soon as they sit in front of a mirror? I mean, and it's not the only place you judge yourself. Like, that's just what you walk around doing all the time. And then as soon as you're no longer valuing your judgments and, you know, you just become so free. You're like, wow, when did I buy this lie as true and real? And judgments are not true and real. You know, judgments are just designed to destroy us and to stop us from being us. And so as soon as I discovered, like, how many lies I bought as true and real, it's like, oh, my God, like a whole new reality opens up where I can no longer, you know, choose to buy that. And now it's like a whole different reality opens up where I can be grateful for my body, grateful for me, not trying to fit into anybody's reality, you know, so much fun. And then it's like, you know, you get to be that for others, like in conversations and help free other people where they really limit themselves with judgments and buy all those stories as true and real.
So you mentioned the hair and beauty industry, and that's one thing that we have in common. I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 16, 17 years. I don't know. I lost count.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was actually difficult for me to swallow was the projection just of the beauty industry, period. Then if you work in the beauty industry or enjoy playing with hair and makeup, then you must be a judgmental bitch to begin with, because why would you want to spruce something up if the only way to totally. Get there is by judging it as wrong and bad in the first place. And
totally.
So for me, it was always about the play and the exploration of what we could do with our beauty and do with the things that are available to us, like makeup and hair and styling and different things. And so I was always kind of up against that projection of being shallow, of being somebody who only cares about that, or somebody who had to judge myself as ugly before I put on my makeup, rather than it's just a different expression of my beauty. And so can you talk a little bit about that experience in the industry and where the tools of Access Consciousness has actually contributed to you having more awareness around what's possible with that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's funny because I remember as a little girl just playing with hair and makeup and just loving that. And that was, you know, that was my thing, just making everything like colorful, and it's like art. But then it's like, you're right. So many people made that wrong. It's like, you know, why can't you be without your nail polish? Why can't you be without your makeup and your hair done? But it's like, it's just fun for me. It's like super fun to, you know, make people's hair look pretty and do all sorts of different things with their hair. And, you know, I see that a lot with people. It's like they walk away feeling different because they're actually playing with their hair, playing with like the art of makeup. And it is a contribution. And what would it be like if, you know, people would be willing to have more play with their hair and their face and not make it wrong, and not because there's something wrong with it? You know, again, it's like totally getting out of wrongness of you. If there's nothing wrong with you, like what else is possible? Like how much more fun could you have with doing your hair? What color do you want to be this month? You know, what lipstick do you want to wear? What would be fun to wear with your outfit? It's almost like clothing, you know, like just having a whole different look. And totally getting out of wrongness. It's like, if there's nothing wrong with me, what else would I play with? You know, like with that.
Yeah, I know, like for me, when I really started to play with the tools and then would meet with somebody in my chair as a stylist, I started to see that the majority of, especially women, men too though, but would sit down and say, okay, I want bangs because I hate my forehead. I want length because I hate my chin. Don't take it too short in the back because I have a hunchback, and like all of the things that were wrong. And what they were trying to fix with the beauty industry, rather than accentuating the things that were beautiful. Mm. And so how many of us are walking around right now with some sort of hiding or disguise of all the things that we judge, rather than looking at all of the things that are working and that we actually love about our beauty and our bodies, and accentuating those things? And that's really what I've seen the gift of the beauty industry. And what's interesting even in that, and having this conversation with you, is that was so not the target of the overall industry that I felt like an alien all the time. So someone would sit down and say, you know, here are all the wrong things about me, will you make them right? And and I would often say, it's a comb, not a wand. You know, I can't wave this comb and make you love yourself, but what I can do is show you the things that I see through my eyes and aren't judging you as hard as you're judging you, and see what we can accentuate. But because I was walking around in that industry kind of like an alien, I had to judge me as being too weird to be in the beauty industry, because I couldn't find the judgments of the beauty industry.
So yeah, right.
Have you had those experiences like that?
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. Well, actually, now that you're saying it, it's like I can see it so much more. I noticed that, yeah, like with social media, like there's this, you know, intensity of, you know, people trying to compete, or, you know, who's just prettier and more perfect. And it's like, you know, it doesn't interest me. It's like, what if we didn't have to be perfect? What if we could just love who we are and have fun with it? And what if we didn't have to prove? Yeah, it's that, you know, that proving. You know, if you didn't have to prove and you could just choose what would contribute to you, what would make you feel good for the day, or for the month for your hair color, whatever it was, you know, your hairstyle. If you didn't have to prove and you just choose what would be fun for you, what would contribute to you, then it's like a whole different reality rather than trying to get it right, you know, trying to be perfect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. One of the things I've said before is like, you know, if you were driving a car where there's only one of a kind, you would be so excited to share that car and show it off because there's only one made. There only one came off, you know, the line, the, what do they call that? Whatever that is, and distribution, right? So only one of those was created. And so we're like, oh my God, you got to see this car. There's not another car like it. And then it's really exciting. But with our beauty, we are one of a kind. And yet if we're one of a kind, it doesn't have the same value when you add all the judgments of this reality, because what you're supposed to do with your beauty in this reality is find what's perfect, find what sells, find the most airbrushed image and make it real, judge yourself by it, and then try to morph yourself by using the beauty techniques or the, you know, hair tools or the makeup or whatever to look like someone else rather than acknowledging the gift that we be and the uniqueness that we be, like that car that's one of a kind. And so what invitation can we be today with this conversation for people to actually acknowledge the one of a kind gift that they be with their beauty and their being?
Well, that's a great question. And what reality could be created for everybody if they chose to come out of judgment of them and be grateful for them and choose everything that contributes to them?
Joanne, what do you know about good judgment?
Well, that's kind of like saying, well, this is right. So yeah, it's beautiful because it's right. You know, that's another one that's just as bad as, you know, making yourself wrong. It's like, you know, oh, you know, I've got my Botox done, so I've got no wrinkles, so I've got it right. So it's perfect. It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, yeah, because you see people, they sit in front of the mirror, they're like, oh my God, I can't look at myself. You know, I haven't had my Botox done. And it's, you know, that positive judgment that, you know, something looks a certain way, then it's perfect and right.
Yeah. And what I love to explore too is that, like, often like the bad and wrong things are about you, or the things that you are actually maybe willing to ask a question about to change, because the ache of the wrongness is actually what eats at you. But but what's more, say, dangerous, if you will, dun, 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 more dangerous is all the places you've made you, your body, your being right. Because those are the things you won't let go of, even if they're limiting you.
Yeah.
You've totally. Finally got it right. So you won't, even if there's greater beyond that, whatever that is for you, you won't choose it because you're afraid you'll land back in wrongness land. So you hold on to your good and right judgments of you a lot stronger than you do your wrong judgments. And what's interesting is what I know to be true is that good and right are equal. They're both judgments. They're not, one's not better than the other or less than the other. If you're doing anything from good or right, bad or wrong, then you're limiting possibility. And so, which brings me to the tool that we use in Access Consciousness, which is interesting point of view. And so I'd love to hear.
I love that.
What do you know about the interesting point of view tool?
Oh my God. Well, I think I was a walking, talking point of view until I started to use that. Well, and when I started to use that tool, oh my God, started to see so many of my point of views and still catch myself. It's so easy to get caught up in this reality, you know, like when you put on weight and it's, you know, what you just said, it's like, you know, trying to get it right. Oh my God, you know, I've got to lose that weight. And then you lose that weight and now I've got it right. And it's like, well, interesting point of view. I have the point of view, you know, that there's something wrong or that I have to get it right. And it's like, what if you could just be grateful for you? And then what does that create? So much more space, so much more space, like getting out of judgment. It's such a gift, but it's like you've got to choose it. And the interesting point of view is like such a gift. You know, as soon as you hear that, if you really sort of sit with it, you know, and just have it, like just have it sitting in your mind all the time, it's like you can just start to see everywhere you do have point of views that are popping up and choose something different.
Yeah, and we all have points of view. And what's interesting is I'll see people that, like, you know, first start out with access tools, and sure, the target is to not have any polarized points of view, ones that you're not, like, fixed points of view, ones that you're not willing to give up. But we all have points of view because we look at the world from totally different places. And one of the ways that I describe this is a point of view is literally where you're standing looking at something. So if you and I were to climb to the top of a mountain, and I went to one side and you went to the another side, and we both looked down at the view, it's like you fighting me and telling me that your point of view on the view is greater than where I'm standing. And I'm saying, no, you should stand over here because the view is way better over here. But it's just our interesting points of view of where we stand that create, you know, us digging our heels in and deciding that this is the right and good thing, rather than being willing to walk across the whole mountaintop and see the view from any vantage point. And so this tool that we're talking about right now for our listeners is called Interesting Point of View. And it's really, you basically, when you perceive you're really, like, fixed on something, that this is the good and right way, or that's the wrong and bad way, and you, like, have such a solidity in your world about something and it cannot change, you will not let it change, you're fighting to the death that it doesn't change, you go, oh, okay, cool, I have a fixed point of view. Don't judge you. You're not wrong. You just have a fixed point of view. Okay, cool. So then what you do is you say, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And you do it over and over again until it lightens up and you're willing to actually look from a different point of view. And it's not that the other person is right and now you are wrong, or you are wrong and they are right, or any of that. It's just willing to look from a different vantage point on that mountaintop at the same thing and see what you see. And so feel free to take that tool if you're listening to this podcast and you've never heard it before. Anytime you're in some sort of, you know, a great place to use it is conflict. So if you're in a conflict with another person and they're like, it's this way, and you're like, no, it's this way. If you stop for a second, even in your head, say over and over, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. And then you can say, interesting point of view, they have that point of view. And do that a number of times. You just create a lightness around the solidity that's up. And you're willing then to look from a place you weren't willing to look from, to maybe create a solution for whatever is going on. And one of the ways that I've used this with the beauty industry is to do that for every point of view you have about your beauty or your body. So look at if you hate your nose, look at your nose and go, interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view about my nose. So I know, like, I was told as a little girl that I would drown in a rainstorm. So now all of our listeners are going to go look at my nose on the graphic probably. But, so my family projected at me that I had, like, a pig nose, that if rain were to fall from the sky, that water would get in it and I would drown. And so,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I almost felt like I had to, and this was like my grandma, my great aunt, my mom, like people who were supposed to be telling me how beautiful I am all the time. And, so when I started to use that tool with my nose, I was like, wow, that is, that's something I bought that was their point of view. I actually love my nose, and there's really nothing that anybody can tell me about.
Yeah. I love that. What you said, the people that were meant to tell you how beautiful you are, you know, like your grandma, your mom, exactly that, like right there. It's like, you know, you started to buy the lies of judgment that were as true and real when they weren't. It's that thing right there. That's, you know, it's like, you really got to go there and go, where did I buy all this? And is it true and real? And when did it start? Because that's literally where you start to get free. When you go, oh my God, I bought this is true and real when I was a kid, and it's not. There's, you know, all of that stuff. I love how you explained that. It's so true. And there's nothing wrong with you. And it's like getting out of judgment. It's like, you're amazing. You're a gift.
Yeah. And everywhere, the another way it's people, our listeners can look at this too, is if you've ever been compared to a parent. So if you're told your whole life that you look like your mom or you look like your dad, then we start to energetically create the same body as them because it was projected at us. And so there's so many things about me, my shape, my body that were similar to certain parts of my parents. And so it was like, oh, you have your dad's this. Oh, you have your mom's that. And so then every time I saw my mom's that, I had to go into my mom's world and see how she felt about
that. That's right. You know? Yes, exactly. So how many of her judgments and your dad's judgments have you bought as your own judgments, as true and real, that are a lie? I mean, every judgment is a lie. So how many lies, you know, have we all bought?
Yeah. I mean, even about what you're allowed to like on your body, it's funny, even this, I see this show up too with like kids and what they're willing to eat. So I have a stepdaughter and she would never drink milk. Like she hated it since she was little. And one day I just asked her, I was like, who does that belong to? And without her even really understanding that tool, that's another tool in access. She goes, my mom hates milk. So whenever she'd go to her mom's house, she would, in order to connect with her mom, she had to not like milk, you know? And so if I have my mom's feet and my mom hates her feet, then I'm supposed to just hate my feet. But what I liked my feet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that, you know, and I love, let's go there. Cause it's like this, it's a connection point. It's like how you connect with fitting in with people that you love and value and care for. It's like the most important people, like who did you love the most and how much did you have to fit into their judgments without even realizing it?
Yeah, I have seen this so many times, even with like male clients who are coming in. My wife told me I'm going bald. And then in order to solidify his wife's reality and align and agree with her, because that's how we create relationship here in this reality, he had to start going bald so that he could, you know, produce what she saw rather than, you know, what would you like to create with you? It's wild how we do that.
Exactly. It's like, you know, to create relationship in this reality, because it's like, how scary is it to have your own reality? It's like, what if you have to be alone and have no connection points? You know, it's like, it's such an uncomfortable thing for, you know, people to get to or to choose or to look at. I think they don't even see it. You know, it's like that you're connecting with everybody based on their judgments. Like how much do you fit into all of your family's judgments, your partner's judgments, you know, like everybody. And it's like, what if you no longer chose that? What if you chose to be you? Then what? What would your reality be?
Amen, sister. And for those out here maybe listening to this podcast for the first time and you're like, I don't choose people based on their judgments. Well, what I'd like to invite you to is, how many times have you said, oh, I met this person and we have so much in common? Well, a lot of in common isn't, there's this person that is so uniquely them that I'm inspired to be uniquely me. Or is it, wow, we like the same movies, we like the same food, we like the same music, therefore we're a good fit. And that's matching whatever their judgments of how they'd like to create their reality and pulling it into yours, deciding that it fits, and then creating a relationship based on someone else's point of view of reality. And it's not often that you're like, oh, I can't wait to date that person who I have nothing in common with. You know what I mean? You know, I met this new person and we don't like any of the same things. This should be fun. We don't do that. We like sameness here, which is why we started this podcast. You know, shout out to the Being You Change in the World book by Dr. Dane here. If you have not purchased your copy yet, please get your booty over to beingyouchangeintheworld.com. Or you can download that book on Audible as well. Because Dr. Dane talks about the gift it is when you start to be you and how you start to change the world. And you no longer have to find people that align and agree with you. You can actually choose people based on the gift they'll be in your life, not because you like the same, you know, flavor of food or the same, you know, TV shows. So you can invite people who are going to invite you to the greatness of you, and they might not have, and I'm doing air quotes for those of you who cannot see me, which none of you can except Joanne, invite people in who like the same things as you, or that you have a lot of stuff in common with. You can start to look from a different place and say, hey, does this person actually inspire me to be more of me, whatever me is?
Yeah. And what a contribution we can all be when we start to be us. Like what future are we creating when we sort of like inviting other people to be themselves as well? And so how much more freedom, like, do you invite people to have in their life as well when you choose it?
That's wonderful. So yeah. I'm going to ask you my podcast question now, no significance, but I ask everybody this, and it's basically that. So this podcast is called The Power of Being You. And if you had to write our show description, Joanne, well, what would you say the power of being you is?
Oh, wow. The power of being you is like really getting out of wrongness. Being the gift you are. Yeah, be brave, be courageous. Be grateful and choose to be you.
I love that. Thank you.
And, thank you.
Where can our listeners find out more about you?
So, well, great question. Okay, it's joannepapapetros.com. Yeah, and there's also on the Access Consciousness site, you can go into facilitators, and it's joannepapapetros. So hopefully I'll be meeting some of you listeners sometime. And if not, thank you for listening. And Sarah, thank you so much for today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for the gift that you be to so many. I am grateful for you. And
I hope everybody sort of gets a chance to jump on and have a look at some of the Being You classes that are around if you're interested. If not, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. So I'd invite everybody to, like, if you're interested in listening to more or attending anything, please check out the Access website and YouTube. Okay.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listening. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Power of Being You. Bye.